Child of God, it's always a joy to have you here with us. You're welcome to yet another life-changing sermon from Reverend Sidney Alamanza. Reverend Sidney is the head pastor of God is Our Light Church, City of His Presence. He is a man of God who operates in the healing, prophetic, and teaching ministries. Today, the man of God takes us through a powerful sermon titled, Thanksgiving with the Levites.
Hallelujah. Amen. I promise I won't keep you here for long. Amen. I know some of you are anticipating that today, Thanksgiving, we might leave you around 11. No, I won't keep you here for long. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at somebody, say, I love you. Say, I love you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Our thanksgiving is calling you, oh God. Our thanksgiving is calling you, oh God. My thanksgiving is calling you, oh God. My thanksgiving is calling.
From January.
My thanksgiving is calling you. My thanksgiving is calling you.
Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Let me preach. Amen. Please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. King James Version. Amen. Somebody say thanksgiving. Say thanksgiving. I can't hear you. Say thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving is the aspect of praise that give thanks to God and for what He has done for us. And ideally, thanksgiving should spring out from a grateful heart. But it is required for all believers, regardless of whatever you have gone through in life, that you need to thank God. Somebody say, thank God. Say, thank God. So it is this time and this season that you and I would have to boldly come without no regret and come before God and say, Father, I am grateful for everything that you have done for me. Hallelujah. Though it is very imperative that as a believer, you have to find the time to thank God. But as corporately as a church, we have a month, and which is in December, that we all come together and say that, Father, we are very grateful for everything that you have done for us. I want you to wave your hand and say, Lord, I am grateful. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says that in, let's read together, church. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We should be grateful for all things. Tap somebody, high five, say all things. You have to be grateful. All things. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. It says that giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you travel to Colossians chapter 2, verse 17, chapter 3, verse 17. It says that Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says that, and whatsoever, somebody say whatsoever. Oh, tap somebody on your shoulder and say whatsoever. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of what? The Lord Jesus. And it says that, not only that, but what? We want to hear you. Not only that, but what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Giving thanks. It talks about giving thanks here again. It's very important that you have to give thanks. Even as humans, when we thank them, how do they feel? And if you have to thank God, somebody say, I am here today, this morning, to thank God. You have heard me speak on a series about thanksgiving, and I have taught you the reasons why you have to thank God. But this morning, I want you to travel with me for us to see how the Levite, how they thank God. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles again to Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 8. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 8. It says that, moreover, the Levite, Jeshua, Binua, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren. Hallelujah. I take it again. It says that, moreover, the Levite, Yeshua, someone say Yeshua, say Benua, say Kadmiel, say Sherebiah, say Judah, say Mattaniah. The Bible says that which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. But especially for his work. They will thank God especially for his work. They will thank God especially for his work. And when it comes to the sanctification and salvation, thanksgiving is very important. Hallelujah. But before we understand the reason why we are reading this verse, I want us to see the word written there as Levite. Somebody say Levite. Oh, can I have church here this morning? Say Levite. Say Levite. Now, Levite or Levi, according to the book of Genesis, was the third of the six sons of Jacob. And Jacob had married married Leah. Hallelujah. Because when his uncle deceived him and he had to marry Leah and had to wait for another 14 years to marry the one that she has to marry. Hallelujah. The Bible makes us understand that a son came out of their union, and the son was called Levi. Somebody say Levi. Say Levi. And Bible makes us understand, or Bible history makes us understand, that the founder of the Israel tribe of Levi and the great grandfather of Aaron, please stay with me, Moses and Miriam. So we understand that the descendant of Levi served as assistant to the priest. They served as assistant to the priest, and there was a system in Israel in a time of worship. You see, most of the things we are doing here, the worship and praises is being done in heaven. Are you understanding me? So that is why God categorically and specifically gave Moses the instruction of the measurement of the tabernacle. Are you understanding me? It was the exact replica that was in heaven that was downloaded to Moses. Amen. So we understand from scripture that the Levite were descendants of what? Of Levi. And what they did was that they were part of the worship system of Israel. Somebody say worship system. Say worship system. And as a Levite, Aaron and his sons and their descendants were charged with the responsibility of priesthood. And what they did was that they were charged with the responsibility of priesthood in view of offering. Are you understanding me? In view of leading the people in worship. And that was what the Levite did. And not only that they did, they led the people also in confession. So I would say that pastoral assistant in our time. Am I communicating? But they did more than being a pastoral what? An assistant. If you read the book of Numbers chapter 8 verse 6, can you give it to me? Numbers chapter 8 verse 6. Numbers chapter 8 verse 6. It says, take the Levite from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. Somebody say cleanse them. So before you become a Levite, please stay with me. Before you become a Levite, you have to go to what? Cleansing. Somebody say cleansing. Somebody say cleansing. And Bible history makes us understand that the Levite had to go to cleansing, and it was a special service. Before you begin to serve what in the sanctuary. Now they would take a Levite into consecration about the age of 25 years. Somebody say 25 years. And at 25 years, they will take you into consecration. And first thing that will be done for you is that a water will be sprinkled on you. And that water is a water of purification. Somebody say water of purification. I'm getting there. Say water of purification. And you can see that in Numbers chapter 8 verse 7. The next thing that we'll do, put it there for me. Numbers chapter, go to verse 7 for me. Please stay with me. It says that, and thou shalt do unto them do cleanse them. Sprinkle what? Is it there? Oh, come on, stay with me. Sprinkle what? Water. Of purifying upon them, and let them what? So the second thing that the Levi will do, or they will do to the Levi, is for them to what? Shave the hair. They shave what? The hair. Am I communicating? They shave the hair, and then the next thing will do is that his clothes will be washed, and the next thing will be that they will sacrifice two young bulls and a grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil. And now we see that in verse number 8. Are you understanding me? So the Levite will go through what? Consecration. Somebody say consecration. Say consecration. So before one comes to a place of being a Levite, you go to consecration. And the Bible makes us understand from 9 to 15 that after that, they will set them apart from service. And after setting them apart from service, the elders will lay hands upon them. They will lay hands upon them and then call them into that place in the system of worship of God. Now you understand what they go through before they are what? They are called into what? The system of what? Of worship. Am I communicating? So this young Levite, 25 years. Somebody say 25 years. Oh, I'm getting there. Say 25 years. 25 years, they were very young. Young as they were, they begin to be assistant to the priest. Remember, the Levite were not the priest. They were what? Assistant what? To the priest. To the chief what? Levite. Am I communicating? And they will progress through the higher duties. Sometimes after serving for a while, they will be given what? A higher what? Position or a higher duty. And some of the position that they will be given is a doorkeeper. Somebody say doorkeeper. After being given a doorkeeper, they can also make you a member of the temple orchestra. Somebody say orchestra. Say orchestra. So you don't just become what? A doorkeeper, but what? You also become what? An orchestra, a member of the orchestra. So at the end of the day, a Levite, what? A young Levite will progress from position to what? To position. Am I communicating? And the Bible makes me understand that even apart from that, the Bible history makes us understand that apart from that, they can also be called into an administrator. So a Levite can also be what? Administrator, because they take charge of what happens what in the temple. Are you understanding me? They make sure that everything is in order. Like somebody will come make sure that the water stand is clean, the pulpit is clean, make sure that the altar is clean, everything is well, the candles are set, everything is well for worship. And this was some of what the duties were of the Levite. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. And sometimes when they are moving from one camp to the other camp, the Levite will carry what they are. They will carry what? The tabernacle. They will make sure that they move everything when they are going to another camp, and they move it toward another camp, and they make sure that they set it in place. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? So they make sure that everything is well and properly in that state. It is clean. The furniture is clean. Everything is well. I pray that the grace of a Levite will fall upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm getting there. So apart from all these things that they do, there is one important thing that they do also, is that they make sure that they guard the tabernacle. They don't just take care of it. They guard it. They guard it with their entire life. Look at somebody say, they guard it. They guard it with their entire life. They make sure everything is clean, everything is well, everything is functioning. But you see, on top of all these things, somebody will say, where do I find myself as a Levite? I am not in the Old Testament. The Bible, let's travel to the New Testament. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, now the job is on us. Somebody say, now the job is on us. Look at somebody say, now the job is on you. You know what the guy did? The guys, they make sure that everything was well. The ark was clean. Everything was not the ark of the covenant. No, you can't touch it. Hallelujah. I'm talking about this one. Amen. Everything was what? Was clean. They make sure everything was positioned well. But now the job is on us. Somebody say it's on me. Because the Bible says that what? Let's read together. It said, by ye are what? No, hold on. Did he say that somebody in some planet? So let's read it to your neighbor. Say you.
A holy nation, a peculiar people, that the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I love the verse 10. It says that which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Can I get somebody to praise him here? In time past, we were not a people, but now, because we have been called to be a chosen generation, because we have been called to be what? A royal what? Priesthood. So now the job is on you. Don't blame it or don't call it on the Levite. In the New Testament, the job is on you.
You are chosen. You've been running away from the calling for a long time, but you are chosen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He didn't say Reverend Sydney alone. He says Martha.
Hallelujah. Is it not there? Did I write this? No. Hallelujah.
It says you. Are you understanding me? So somebody will pray and say that, Lord, I tap into this scripture and the anointing of this scripture. I am what? A royal what? And that grace is coming upon me. Because if I'm a royal priesthood, I can enter the presence of God and begin to communicate, begin to have interaction with God.
It doesn't end there. It says that which in time past were not what? A people. Which in time past you wouldn't have qualified to be what? Part of the Levite. But Bible says, I have chosen.
Someone say, I've chosen. I feel like preaching. Someone say, I've chosen. Say, I've chosen. It says that, but are now the people of God, which had what up?
Read it. Let's read it.
But now what? Have obtained mercy. If it was in the time of old, you wouldn't have qualified. Can I preach like a fear? If it was in the time of old, I wouldn't be here because my sin will make me out. But Bible says, it says, but now you have. Oh, tap somebody high five. Say, I feel it in here. I say, I feel it in here. Mercy is yours. Say, mercy is yours. So the truth of the matter is that all Christians, and I mean all Christians, and I want to qualify it, the good Christians, not the bad ones. Hallelujah. The good Christians are the holy word priesthood, not those that have denied God. Are you understanding me? Are what? The holy one priesthood.
Our a priest, Ketan, a priest, Tijerofne.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you have someone who is doing, we look at it and say, hey, how are you a priest? Hallelujah. And I'm outside now, I'm on Adu there, Shatawale.
Hallelujah.
You are what?
Priest. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. There is this guy we knew in the past, you know, he's so resting. Terry Bonshaka.
Hallelujah. Some of you, sometimes you forget who you are. Say, I know who I am. Say, I know who I am. So the apostles, they speak here of the generality of Christians, not some Christian. The generality of what? Of Christians. And tell them that you are a holy word priesthood. You have been selected. Somebody say, divine selection. Say, divine selection. It says that you have been selected. And not only selected, but you have been sacred to God. Am I communicating? Not only sacred to God, but you are serviceable to others as well. Look at somebody, say, don't keep yourself. Let God use you.
You have not only that, but you have been endowed with heavenly gift. You have been endowed with heavenly blessing. Do you know what it means by a chosen generation, a royal priesthood? I can interact with the high priest, who is Jesus, sitting at the right hand side of God. If I have issues, I go to him. I say, Jesus, I have come because I partake in your blessing. I partake in your...
You don't know who you are. The devil is deceiving us. We don't know who we are. So sometimes we are afraid to go to him.
Oh my God. Somebody say, I am, I am. Say, I am. Say, I am. Say, I am.
The holy priesthood must and will offer spiritual sacrifices to God.
Am I communicating?
You see, what we are doing here is not physical, it's spiritual. Your money cannot go to heaven. It is your heart backing what you have given.
Hallelujah. Backing what? What you have given.
So the spiritual sacrifices which Christians are to offer, and not only offer their money, but offer their bodies. Not only offer their bodies, they have to offer prayers unto God. They have to offer alms unto God. Some of you don't know how to do good. All the time you keep it to yourself. Look at somebody, say, do good.
You don't like this sermon, right? Hallelujah.
Say, do good. Say, do good. The most spiritual sacrifices of the best men are not acceptable by God, but through Jesus Christ. Because men can come and sacrifice. I taught you here, the rich men, they came and they gave, and Jesus said, no, it's the one that the widow gave, it's the one that is acceptable. Are you understanding me? But now we have a high priest that when I come before him and I pray, he will accept what?
My offering.
I pray today your thanksgiving will become a memorial before God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I feel it in here. So I want to tell you this morning, or I want to say, is that this Sunday is a thanksgiving with the Levite.
God is thanksgiving with the Levite. Say, today I am having thanksgiving with the Levite. Hallelujah. I'm closing. If we look at the names that we read, go back to my anchor scripture, me, Nehemiah. Go back to me, Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 8. If we look at the names here, it's little or more than names that we see here. And these are Levite and people that were put in a register. And I believe that it was not a coincidence. I mean, what would this verse mean to you? When you open the Bible and you see, moreover, Levi Yeshua, is like you are speaking in tongues, Sheribaya, like Madame Baranda Salada, like Matania. You see this name and you are like, how can these names do to me? But you see, one thing that we need to understand is that they are not there just like that. It is not a coincidence. Somebody say, it's not a coincidence. They contribute to something. Am I communicating? Let's read Psalm 112 verse 6. Is it there? Psalm 112 verse 6. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read together. Surely he shall not be moved by ever. The righteous shall be an everlasting word. Remembrance. Hallelujah. You see, let the memory of those who have served God be what? A remembrance. Hallelujah. You see, that is why sometimes you can just go before God and speak to me and say, Father, what? Remember me. It's not about all your righteousness, but about what? His mercy. Somebody say, His mercy. His mercy. Let the memory of the just be blessed. Let it be in perpetuity. Hallelujah. That one day we will all stand in the city of his presence and say that you labored for the building of this house. That whether rain or shine, let the remembrance, the everlasting remembrance, let it be found at your doorsteps. When God opens the books of city of his presence, your name will be in the register. Am I communicating? Your name will be in the register. Hallelujah.
Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7. Read it for me. Put it there for me. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7. I'm getting there. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Let's read it together, church. It says that what? Remember them. Considering the end of what? He said, remember them which have what? Rule over you. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. Whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation. Some of you don't know remembrance. Hallelujah. Some of you don't know even how to bless men of God. Hallelujah. I alone. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, it says that those who have spoken what? The word what? To you. Somebody say remember. Somebody say remember. You see, it's good to remember our predecessors. It's good to remember our ancestors. There was a woman, a great and powerful woman in God is our light. She was that powerful. Before you enter her house, she will tell what you have gone to do before you enter. Hallelujah. Can you imagine you enter and then somebody tells you, hey, you are coming from house number 35. Stroke what? Remember your predecessors. Remember your ancestors. It says that we may learn thereby by what we should what? We should do. We need to learn from them. We need to follow their what? Their examples. Hallelujah. But we have here of several of the Levites in verse 8 of Nehemiah that we read. It says that they were over the thanksgiving. Now watch this carefully. I'm closing. It says that they were over what? The thanksgiving. It means that they were entrusted the psalms of the thanksgiving. They were entrusted the things that will go on in the house of God in relation to what? To thanking God. It says that which was over the thanksgiving. He and what? And his brethren. Now what marvels me in Bible history is that the Levite would take turns in watching over what? Over the tabernacle. They would take turns even as fellow soldiers, like the choristers. This will come on Wednesday. This will come on Sunday. This will lead this song. This person, no. They kept watch over each other. Somebody say, watch over me. They kept watch over each other, relieving each other. And that is what they did. But the Bible makes us understand. It says that the Levites were in charge of what? Of thanksgiving. If you have nothing to be thankful of, I want to show you a few things that will help you to understand that you have to what? Be grateful to God. Maybe you have given to God now, but still you feel like, no, it's not enough. I want to give more. Hallelujah. The Bible makes us understand in Nehemiah chapter 12 verse 8. In my text, you can see that there are six names for six different Levites, and which were put in charge of thanksgiving. Somebody say thanksgiving. I don't find it a coincidence. If you look at the meaning of their names, you will find that there is something to be thankful of. The first name you see is Yeshua. Someone say Yeshua. Now tap somebody high five. Say Yeshua. Say Yeshua. It is not a coincidence that you see the first name as Yeshua, because in the Hebrew, the word defined as Yeshua is the one who saves. And I am not confused, because I know one man and one man alone who is the one who saved you and saved me, and his name is Jesus, and that is why he will always be the first. So I'm not surprised that Yeshua was the first name among all the names of the Levite. Oh, can I preach like a fear? So immediately I see Yeshua, my first focus is on Jesus Christ. Somebody say Jesus Christ. Say Jesus Christ. When I hear first, the first thing that comes in my mind is Jesus Christ, because Jesus would never be the second. Oh, can I preach like a fear? Oh, you look quiet on me this morning. Jesus will never be the first. He will never be the third. He will always be what? The first. He will never be the second. He will never be the third. He will always be what? The first. Look at somebody, say, he's the first in my life. He's the first in my family. He's the first in my children. He's the first in my business. Oh, tap somebody, high five. Say, I'm talking about Jesus. Say, I'm talking about Jesus. And that is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, the King James Version, it says, for he had made him to be sin for us. Oh yes, he says, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. May because of Jesus, may God help you in your righteousness in the name of Jesus. I told you on yesterday, I told you on Friday, that you need not to lose your identity, because your identity is in Christ Jesus. When you see Christ Jesus, you see me. That is why we are followers of Christ. Am I communicating? Somebody say, I have my identity in Christ. Say, I have my identity in Christ. I'm not surprised that the second name is Benua. In the Hebrew, Benua means to make repair. Somebody say, Benua. Say, Benua. Say, don't get confused on me. Say, Benua. Benua in Hebrew means to make repair. Write it. Say, to make repair. Say, to make repair. Now, your mind, if you hear the word to make repair, your mind immediately goes back to the days where you were broken, to the days where you were helpless. You were helpless. You needed somebody to mend your soul. And as Ezra chapter 9 verse 9 says, for you were bondmen. Put it there for me. Let's read together. Ezra chapter 9 verse 9. It says, for we were bondmen. Other versions say, for we were slaves. Let's read together. For what? And in Jerusalem, we used to be bondmen, but there is only one repairer, and he is Jesus Christ. Are you not happy to be thankful that you used to be a slave of sin, but there is a man called Jesus who took you out of slavery and placed you to become a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. I love what Jeremiah 18 verse 4 said, the New King James Version. It says, and the vessel that made me of clay was made in the hand of the potter. So he made me it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Verse 5, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, say, then the word of the Lord. It says, O house of Israel, verse 6, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the hand. Please read it. So are you what? In my hand. If there is anybody that can repair you, it is Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody clap your hand and say, it is Jesus Christ. Say, it is Jesus Christ. I am not surprised that the next name among the list was Kadmiel or Kadmel. And the Kadmel in Hebrew means the presence of God. Somebody say, the presence of God. The presence of God. And it is interchangeably with the Spirit of God. It is used interchangeably with the Spirit of God. Now, if you are here this morning and you can still feel the presence of God, I want you to holler, thank you, Jesus. If you are here and you can still feel the presence of God, I want you to holler, thank you, Jesus. You better be thankful. I am here. I can still feel the presence. I need to be grateful. I have screamed. I have danced. I have praised God. I need to what? Be grateful to God. Am I communicating? There are some people who have gotten very far. Before January started, they have gotten very far. But we have traveled and we are in what? December. And I can still feel the presence of God. Then there is a reason to be thankful. Somebody said, there is a reason. There is a reason. There is something special when I can still be able to feel the presence of God. David said, take not away your presence from me. If you can still feel his presence, then wave your hand and say, Lord, I'm grateful to you. Some of you are saying that, man of God, I'm confused. Have you realized that there are some mornings where you could just get up and begin to sing praises? Do you remember there are some days when you can just get up in the morning and begin to thank God? Yes, you could still feel his presence. There are some days when it feels like something is moving you away, and still the Holy Ghost will speak to you. You can still feel his presence. Oh, some of you are saying that, man of God, do you not remember there were some days when you were going to write the exams? You look confused, but you sat in the exams hall and it looked like everything started downloading, like some codes that are being downloaded from the computer system into your mind, and you began to write. It is the presence of God. There are some times where you feel like fasting has been declared and there is no energy, no zeal, but all of a sudden, after you step out from your house, you feel that your strength is renewed. It is the presence of God. The Bible says when David, he saw Goliath throwing tantrums and saying that, who is there that can match me, Goliath? Because David knew the presence of God. Because David knew the association with God. He stood before Goliath and said, who are you that defy the armies of Israel? When you have the presence of God, God is on your side. When people curse you, it will not be cursed. When God lifts you up, no man can bring you down, because you have his presence. Somebody say, I carry his presence. Say, I carry his presence. There are some people that missed out of the presence of God. Adam and his wife. Somebody say, Adam and his wife. Cain missed out of the presence of God, and he dwelt in the land of Nod. You could see that Jacob, he awoke. Genesis 28 verse 16. Put it there quickly for me. The Bible says Jacob awoke and he realized something. Listen, it is so painful when the presence of God is in a place and you can't feel it. You know, like some people, they come to church, go. But people come, they enter the presence and they go, and God is making them. God is preparing them. Let's read, what does it say? It said, then Jacob awoke from his sleep. Surely the Lord is in this place and I didn't know. It is so sad when the presence of God is somewhere and you don't know. May you not miss the presence of God. Can I repeat? May you not miss the presence of God in the name of Jesus. One guy which we know, Samson, he also missed it. The Bible makes us understand that he woke up, he shook himself, and he realized that the presence had departed from him. In 1 Samuel 16:14, it says, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit troubled him. It is not a coincidence. When you have the presence of God, he will lead you to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Can I preach like a fear? The Bible says that a priest called Zedekiah, he didn't know that it has left him. I'm telling you, the presence can leave some priests. Am I communicating? And now you understand that you are a priest. Don't look at me like I'm the only priest here. Look at somebody, say, you are a priest as well. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 22 verse 24, it says that, but Zedekiah, the son of Chanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? 25, and Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber and hide thyself. The priest missed what? The presence of God. We know in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17, it says that now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. When I have the presence, I feel liberty in my spirit. How many of you have the presence?
Do you feel liberty? Do you feel liberty? Tap two people by your side. Tell them I have the presence. I feel liberty. Tap two people.
You see, when you have the presence of God, you feel what? Liberty in what? In your spirit. When people are worried and you are smiling, they are like, oh God, what is happening now? Hallelujah. When troubles come, you are still worshiping God. And you are like, man of God, what is happening? It is that spirit. And where that spirit is, there is what? Liberty. I pray for somebody. If the presence of God is not around you, I pray, receive it now in the name of Jesus.
May you feel that spirit. He is that spirit. But if you can go with me a little bit once I close here, you can see that it's very important that after the next name, you see the name Sherebiah. Say Sherebiah. Say Sherebiah. And Sherebiah or Sherebiah means the fire of God. But after Sherebiah, you see the name Judah. And Judah means to praise the Lord. Oh, look at somebody. I feel like praising him. I'll say, I feel like praising him. Now, before I dwell on Sherebiah and Judah, I'm going to preach on these two names together. Hallelujah. But it is very significant that the one is listed before the other. And I love it so much. And I can preach on this for years and years and years and not feel tired. I can preach on this, and many men can preach on this and not feel tired. You understand that before praise comes, there is fire. Before praise comes, there is what? Before praise comes, there is what? Tap somebody, say there is fire.
I want to end my sermon here.
Before praise comes, there is what? Now let me explain why you should be thankful for the fire. The word fire is mentioned in the Bible 549 times. And it is used figuratively. Fire was a symbol of the Lord's presence. The Bible said Moses encountered a bush with fire. The bush was not burning, but there is fire in it. The Bible makes us understand that the Israelites, whilst they moved in the wilderness, there was a pillar of fire that took them. Fire figuratively was used in several times, and most of us, we figuratively say, let the fire of the Lord hit our enemies. Is it not true? When I say Holy Ghost, you say what? Don't you say fire? Hallelujah. So we have used fire for several things, but it is not coincidence that you have the name Sherebiah before Judah, because God's gonna take you through certain things. And will be a wa brewa brabuma. Se orimani testimonia. Look at somebody say,
When if you have gone through it and you are testifying, you can understand. The Hebrew name for Sherebiah, it would also refer to as what Prophet Micaiah said in Malachi chapter 3 verse 2. It says that, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. Put it there for me. It says that, well, let's read together. I'm closing. But who may abide?
Do you know a refiner's fire? Do you know a refiner's fire? It says that, and he is like what? A refiner's fire and what?
And a fuller's what?
Soap. It is so important here, the word of God speaks about the refiner's fire. Because the refiner was a black or a metal smith who reduced the metal into the simplest state of what? A fluid. By what? By heat. You can find that in Isaiah chapter 125 and Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 29. And what the refiner will do is that, is to remove the dross from what? From the metal. So he will use an instrument like the crucible and the fining pot, and you will use another instrument like the blowing pipe. Have you seen the blowing pipe? They do like this. I like the way you are doing it, right? Let me take my time and explain it here. They begin with what? Blow it here. And you will call the blacksmith. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll call it what? The blacksmith or the metal smith. And he'll begin to what? Blow it like that. And all that he's looking for is the pure state of the gold and the silver. And this metal smith will take his time or her time and begin to work on it. He'll begin to work on it. And even the density or the pressure of the fire, he will measure it. Not too hot. You see, God knows that there is some temperature when you go through, you will die. So the metal smith, he makes sure that what? Listen, tell me, woman, there are some times when you are cooking and the fire is very hot. Hallelujah. So the metal smith will blow, keep blowing and checking, make sure that the fire is not to that temperature. Are you understanding me? And whilst he's blowing, he's watching the metal and make sure that the dross from the metal is removed. And the dross is the contaminated impurity in the metal. So you could see that he's taking out everything that has defiled what the metal. And gradually, by the blueprint of the metal smith, he begins to see the beauty that is coming out. He begins to fix his eyes on the metal. But how will he know that it is ready? He goes through it and now understand that the metal is getting ready. But until his eyes and his image reflect on the glowing mass, he will never know that the metal is ready. And that is what God will do you. The Lord is a refiner. He will refine you. And after he refines you, he will put you on a place where you begin to
praise the Lord. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but somebody might be going through in life, but a refiner is with you, and you make sure that whatever you are going through will not overtake you. Hallelujah. It looks like it's going to kill me, but it's never going to kill me. Hallelujah. And now this is the betting place of Judah, when finally he sees that all the infirmities, all the impurities, all the dross moves away from the metal. That is where the betting place comes. And the betting place is the place of praise. Please be upstanding. It's the betting place of praise. And the Bible says that, and after Sherebiah is Judah. Hallelujah. And look at the spiritual connection here. It says that in Malachi chapter 3 verse 4. Go to verse 4 for me. Let's read it. It says that then shall the offering of Judah praise. 3 verse 4. Go to verse 4 for me. Let's read together, church. Then. Now if you see Judah, you see praise. Hallelujah. Then shall the offering of be pleasant what unto today your praise will be pleasant unto
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Today your praise will be pleasant
Amen.
Unto the Lord.
Amen.
Listen, don't get angry when you are going through the refiner's fire. Please don't get angry. Look at first, let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to read it like you mean it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. It says that what? That the trial, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Do you see the word praise here?
Yes, sir.
So when I won't stay in the fire, Look at somebody. I'm not staying in the fire.
I am not staying in the fire.
So anytime I come out of the fire, I come out with one, with praise. You will not die in that situation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will never die in that situation.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, God is going to take you.
God is going to take you through
the fire.
The fire.
So you can praise him more.
So you can praise him more.
Oh, I can say, God is going to take you through the fire.
God is going to take you through the fire.
So you can praise him more.
So you can praise him more.
I know some people that don't want to go to the fire. But without going to the fire, where will your praise come? Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
I need to be thankful that I went to the fire. Look at somebody say, I want to be thankful.
I want to be thankful
that I went through the fire.
That I went through the fire.
Listen, the whole of this year, some of you have, how many of you have been to the fire before? I love this witness here. I love that witness here. Hallelujah. But I need to go through the fire.
Yes, sir.
So that I can praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Are you understanding me?
Yes, sir.
So you know how I praise. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says that then Jehoshaphat took a position before the assembly of Judah. And watch this. And he says, and Jerusalem at the temple of God in front of the new courtyard and said, slay it down for me. He says, oh God, he prayed a prayer. And whilst I was preparing this man, the Lord sent me to tell you. He says, some of you learn how to pray like how Jehoshaphat prayed.
Mm.
He says, oh God, God of our ancestors. Is it there? It says that, are you not God in heaven above and the ruler of the kingdoms below? It says that you hold all power and might in your... Listen, imagine when you are speaking to God like this. It says that you hold all power and might in your fist. No one stands a chance against you. And didn't you make the natives of this land leave us as you brought your people Israel in, turning it over permanently to your people? You saying, he said, Israel, the descendant of Abraham, your friend. Yeah. I love it. He said, Abraham, your friend. The Lord says, as you tell you, learn how Jehoshaphat prayed. He says, when the worst happens, whether war, flood, disease, famine, and we take our place in this temple, we know you are personally present in this place and pray out our pain and trouble, we know that you will listen and give us victory. Yes. When Jehoshaphat prayed this prayer, the Lord was like, no. And he prayed it in the temple. The guy was in trouble. And he prayed this prayer. And I love what God did in 14 verse 17. 2014, he said, then Jahaziel was moved by the Spirit of God. Until Jehoshaphat prayed, Jahaziel was quiet. But after he prayed, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved to speak from the midst of the congregation. Jahaziel was the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of Asaph clan. He said, attention everyone. All of you from out of the town, all you from Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. God's word. Don't be afraid. Don't pay any mind to this vandalhood. This is God's war. Not yours. He says, tomorrow you will go after them. See, they are already on their way up on the slopes of Ziz. He was prophesying. And he said, you will meet them at the end of the ravine near the wilderness of Jeruel. You won't have to lift a hand in this battle.
Amen.
And he says that just stand firm, Judah and Jerusalem, and what God's saving work for you. He said, just what God's saving work for you take shape. Don't be afraid, don't waver. March out boldly tomorrow. For God is with you.
Amen.
Look at somebody, say, God is with you.
God is with you.
Say, God is with you.
God is with you.
And the Bible says in 21, it says, after talking it over with the people, now watch this. Jehoshaphat appointed a choir for God.
Mm.
And I taught you that the Levites, some of them were choristers. He says that he appointed a choir for God. Dressed in holy robes. Hallelujah. They were to march ahead of the troops singing. Now look at the song they were singing.
give thanks to God. His love never quits. What kind of song is that? Can we compose something? Can we compose something? You are not ready. The way you move your hand from the keyboard, you are not ready. Hallelujah. He said that give thanks to God. His love never what? And you mumu kwanu no. Give thanks to God. His love never quit. His love never quit. Give thanks to God. And the Bible says that as soon as they started shouting and praising, I want you to move around the auditorium. Say that give thanks to God. His love never quit. Come on.
Give thanks to God.
His love never quit. Give thanks to God. His love never quit. Give thanks to God.
Give thanks to God. Come on, shake somebody. Say, give thanks to God.
Give thanks to God. His love never quits.
Give thanks to God. His love never quit. Mama, that was there. And you might know what you want to know. Give thanks to God. His love never quit. Hallelujah. Give thanks to God. His love never quit. Give thanks to God. His love never quit. Give thanks to God. His love never quit. Give thanks to God. His love. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to God.
His love never quit.
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 Give thanks to God. Slay down, slay down. Now imagine. Are you ready?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now imagine. That they were marching, and the choristers of God with holy robes were before them, and they started singing. Give thanks to God. 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 Give thanks to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was such a powerful message from the man of God, Reverend Sydney Alamensa. I believe you have been blessed. God bless you for staying tuned to today's sermon, and shalom.